Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. It's still 2016.
It is still 2016.
I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that, because I've been seeing a lot of Twitter where everyone's saying, I can't believe it's still 2016. It's 2016, yep. Everybody.
What do you mean people say they can't believe it's still 2016? Like, do they forget that there's a whole, like, week after Christmas?
There's been a lot of, like, stuff happening this year, and I've seen, as 2016 continues to exist, I've seen a lot of tweets about, like, 2016 can go, into a fire, or, this year sucks, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure if we all sat down and did what we're about to do and talk about some of our favorite moments in gaming this year, you could probably figure out enough positive things that happened this year and be like, hot damn, 2016 wasn't as bad as Twitter makes it out to be. That's all I wanted to say. Because honestly,
I agree with you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Because see? I did the same thing today. I actually posted in the Joss Plays Discord, basically just saying, like, there were some really, really crappy things that happened in, like, the greater, big, wide world. Mm-hmm. But in the world of Jocelyn, things were actually pretty great. There were a couple of babies born, including Caden, who I completely forgot because
it's
he's,
fine.
Like, right at the very beginning of January, right?
So, you know, it's just like video games you played in January. You kind of forget. I'm kidding, Caden.
That happened in 2016. So, but no, I mean, there was Caden. There was my roommates had their baby Grayson, who is the most adorable of all adorable babies, and I love him so much. Yeah. Baby Waffles to Swexist and Jen was also born this year. So there were lots of little babies born who are adorable and I love. There were new podcasts started this year, friendship cemented. I mean, Matt obviously is amazing and I love him and I had him for the whole year. So yay. So I feel like, in the world of Jocelyn, not to mention, I actually got to go to CreateCon. I got to go to BlizzCon. I got to spend time with friends and fans alike and just all of that stuff that happened in 2016, I think, as well as stuff we're going to talk about tonight, which is, our favorite gaming moments. There is a whole lot of awesome that has happened in 2016. So even though there is also a whole lot of negative stuff that's happened, I think we can kind of, like, put that aside and just look at our own individual spheres and maybe see some of the positivity that exists there. Because I know I had a very good 2016, personally.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, and that's why I just wanted to start off the show with that, because I've been noticing a lot of negativity, and I actually noticed your post, like you said, in the Discord, and also Jules's post on Twitter about, acknowledging the negativity, because it's important not to, throw a shout over your head and be like, Donald Trump doesn't exist, or Reddit, for that matter. But it's important to kind of acknowledge the negativity, try to do something about it, but don't, throw the positivity out with the with
you
negativity.
Have to acknowledge both sides, and I think that there's a lot that goes on the positive side of the scale of 2016. So just remember to be thankful for the things in your life that are good, and don't let all the negativity get to you. So we are going to do just that. Normally we do a Game of the Year episode, but we decided that there were so many great experiences this year that instead of naming one the be-all and end-all of 2016 for our Game of the Year, we decided to kind of just go over all the things that we loved about this year. I find that, and we talked about it a little bit with our Game Awards episode, sometimes I find that when you look at Game of the Year, it's getting harder and harder and harder to actually name one specific game of the year, just because the experiences are so incredibly different. You have a lot of indie titles, a lot of artsy titles, then you've got shooters and multiplayer, and then you've got these big epic single player experiences, not to mention expansions and MMOs, and it's really hard to compare those one to one and say, this wins on time played, but this wins on, bang for your buck, or there's just so many different things that you have to evaluate about games. So we've decided we're not going to crown a winner. We're just going to say, all right, we loved all of these things. So we're going to kick it off with some of our honorable mentions. So these are things that are kind of like didn't make it into our top five, but are worth mentioning as things that we loved about gaming in 2016. So first off, I'm going to start, and I'm not going to talk about this a lot because I do a whole other podcast about it, but Hearthstone and the release of Old Gods and the changeover to Wild and Standard formats, I think, is definitely up there in my honorable mentions for things that I enjoyed out of 2016. And I know a lot of people are probably like, Hearthstone didn't make your top five? But there were a lot of great things that happened this year. Hearthstone was amazing, and I love the changes in the formats. But I think that overall, Hearthstone as a game has a long way to go, I think, before they have another game of the year, experience of the year topping kind of a thing. And though I thought that the release of Standard was great for the game, I don't necessarily think that it belongs in my top five. So shout out to Hearthstone for you know, changing up formats so early on in its lifespan. But yeah, I think, and I know it even got you into playing a little bit of Hearthstone too, more so the adventure than the release of Standard.
The Old Gods was certainly something that brought me back in. I'm going to be honest, I have not touched Hearthstone when Mean Streets of Gadget Zan came out. I don't know if that just maybe I was busy, or maybe it just didn't appeal to me as much as Old Gods did. But I dug the early portion of this year when it comes to Hearthstone. I just think my December was way too busy to touch with Gadgetzan. But I agree, that's a good sentiment. And yeah, that game's gonna be around for a long time, and we'll have plenty of chances to top the five.
Barbecue Master in the chat room says Garrett just texted him and I'm fired. Probably because I didn't say Hearthstone was in my top five.
No. Hearthstone, like, you'll have a whole show to talk about how great Hearthstone is. Like, we don't want to have two of those.
Exactly. But there were some other really great experiences this year, including, I think, one that touched many of our lives, including, I know, Jim, who I'm not sure is in the chat room right now or not, but he was a big proponent of how amazing this game was, and I know a lot of us sunk a lot of hours into Stardew Valley. Yeah. So, Ryan, this one didn't make your list at all, but it's definitely up there on mine because it was the epitome of what I needed at the time, and that was just something that I could play and almost like turn my brain off. Like, it was very much a just total and utter sit back and relax kind of a title.
Yeah, it was a solid title, and the only reason I didn't put it on my list is because it was on your list, and I figured, you know what, this game is great, we're gonna talk about it, so I didn't want to duplicate. But I think that when it comes to Stardew Valley, you're right, like, it was a great sit down, relax, no worries type game, except for the fact that when you were trying to win Stacy's heart, like, she just wouldn't take the fish you could catch. She hated anything. Any gift you gave her, she's like, no, not interested, man. I'm like, damn it, I just want to survive. I don't know.
You should have googled that, man. You should have googled that.
How to impress Stacy.
Yes.
All right,
I know when Matt was playing, he had a whole entire list of like who wanted what, because, you know, he's such a min-maxer. So
he probably had
even min-maxed in the chill game that was Stardew Valley. But that's still kind of a go-to. That and one of the ones that actually did make my top five experiences for this year, as kind of like a sit back and relax and single player play experience, was one of my favorites for this year. So. But Ryan, why don't you talk about a couple of the ones that are on your list?
Yeah, so XCOM 2 was a game that came out early this year, and it was actually the first game that I played with Caden. So Caden was born late January, XCOM 2 came out early February, so it was like right after getting home, getting used to having a baby in the house, and obviously I was on paternity leave, so I was able to play a lot of XCOM 2 while I was taking care of, and really like taking care, like basically holding him and making sure he doesn't fall out of my arms. That was the extent of my early time with Caden, which is pretty easy, right? And XCOM 2 was just this evolution of XCOM. It was that game with some new meta, some new enemies, and just a cool story and concept. And it was so close to cracking the top five, but I think what hurt it is, I'll be honest, it came out so early in the year, and I just haven't touched it in 10 months. I'm sure if I had gone back to it recently, it might have gone a bit higher, but it's a really great game, and if you have not played XCOM 2, certainly check it out.
Yeah, that's funny, because it's something that we talk about each and every year when we do any kind of like a recap, is that anything that we've played in January or February is usually, like, we forget about it. There's so many other experiences that come out in the time between then and the end of the year that usually we forget about it. But one of the games that did make both of our top five experiences this year did come out early on in the year. So it is possible, guys, for a title in February or March to make it into our top five experiences. But it's difficult. Yeah. And possibly it will be done again next year should Zelda and Mass Effect actually launch in spring 2017.
Both have a very weird release date that could easily be changed.
Exactly. But you played something else that came out early-ish in the year.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly when it was. Is it February or March that Firewatch happened?
Firewatch was February, and that was a pretty heated episode where we both played it, and we had polar opposite reactions to that game.
Yep. Not on my favorite experience of 2016 list.
Nor did I expect it to be. I almost expected to come back to the notes and see it deleted. I'm like, that's really weird. But if you do go back to that episode, it's actually a really good episode because it basically encapsulates the internet's reaction to Firewatch. Unlike The Witness, where we both agreed that it was kind of a bad game. Not bad, but just terribly hard and punishing. Anyways, with Firewatch, I really enjoyed what it was presenting because it was a laid-back exploration, really cool focus on, like, VO actors. And you have to, I think knowing now what we should have known then is that you kind of have to understand that game, what that game is, and going into it. Like, it's not an open world. It's kind of like an explore in a straight line, you know, and it's a narrative experience rather than an open world experience. And it's got an ending that some might think is underwhelming, but honestly, for me, it was kind of like, that's different. Like, you kind of expect the Hollywood ending based on, like, what they're showing you, but I don't know, it just hit a lot of the right strides for me. And it came at a time when longer games were not something I could really do, and that game was really easy to do in, like, small chunks. And I don't know, I just really dug the vibe of it. But it's certainly a game that a lot of people will either agree with me or disagree that it's even being mentioned in Game of the Year. Like, I realize that for sure. But I enjoyed it a lot.
One thing that I really enjoyed, and I know a whole heck of a lot of people around the world really enjoyed, was the launch of Pokemon Go, and that was this past summer. And that was the first experience that really got me out of the house when I was gaming. I mean, we've got a lot of portable games in the past, but this one, you actually had to move around and do things and, you know, kind of track down your Pokemon in order to get the best experience. And we're still playing this game, not as much as we were back in July, but we actually went out of our way when we were on our way home from some of the holidays yesterday to find a Pikachu with a Santa hat. So, yeah.
Whoa. Okay, so they did add that and it's still there, right?
Yeah, and they made a lot of changes, which are really cool. It'll show you now a picture of the closest Pokestop to the Pokemon that you're looking for. So it's like, it's a lot easier to track things down now. You can, you know, actually click on one and, like, set it as your focus, and it shows that on your map. And it's made a lot of updates that are helpful if you're actually trying to track specific Pokemon. So I think they're moving in the right direction and fixing a lot of the problems that a lot of people had once the original, like, oh my god, it's Pokemon on my phone, this is amazing, that feeling wore off. Then, you know, they had a lot of people were saying, okay, well, I would play more except for, you know, X, Y, and Z are wrong with the actual core gameplay. And they seem to have made a lot of changes to that core gameplay. So the updates are still coming. And that was an experience that I think there's no way that we could go through our honorable mentions for experiences of 2016 without mentioning Pokemon Go.
Yeah. And the cool thing about that game is that it's being updated in a speed that feels very comfortable. Like, the fact that they added the second generation Pokemon to it 6 months after launch, I feel is a pretty solid timeline for a product so that's that polished, right? Like, I don't know, some people might not agree with me, but I think that, yeah, adding an additional 150 Pokemon to the game pretty substantial 6 months later, when these are all new assets that they're developing, mm-hmm. right? So, and that game's got a long to go because there's like 700 Pokemon now. So,
I know, and to be honest, I didn't even realize that they had added the new, second generation Pokemon to the game. So,
I'm pretty sure they have. Like, I haven't been playing as much lately. I haven't touched it in true Ryan fashion. It's for some reason dead to me now. I don't know why I haven't touched it. I loved it. It was a great game, but I just haven't touched it in months. And I feel like I saw a lot of news. I did see the news for the Santa Hat Pikachu, but I think they added, maybe they didn't add the second generation Pokemon, but added like two or three of them as like teasers. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, there's a big difference between adding two or three and adding 150.
I know, but I remember still, reading it. Some, anyways, you know, you can go catch some second generation Pokemon. I'm sure someone in the chat room will correct me, and I think there's a podcast about it somewhere you could probably subscribe to. I'm not sure, but I got to play more Pokemon Go.
Speaking of Pokemon, that was one of Nintendo's big offerings this year, but another one was one of your favorite experiences, which was the NES Mini, which I still haven't been able to get my hands on. That thing is so freaking hard to find.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so frustrating. That was going to be Matt's Christmas gift this year, and I couldn't find it, so he got something else.
So for those, so the NES Mini I picked up, we told a story on the show how I woke up at, set an alarm for 2:30 in the morning and ordered it online and got it shortly after launch. But the thing is about the NES Mini, you're right, super rare, small restocks, people somehow like, I'll tell people how they can find out, but people know when these things are coming in and will go to the store, line up at 4 a.m, get tickets, and then buy them. So essentially, you will not be able to pick this up in store for quite a while. Now, you can get lucky and buy them online when they get in stock. They do give you a bit of a notice there. But I have a friend who works at Best Buy who basically says, like, he doesn't even know when they're getting in, but the people lining up in front of the store do, because they follow websites that track stock and stuff. My luck has always come by with the Amiibo Canada subreddit. They are always posting like, hey, Best Buy just announced that they're going to have stock in online at 5 p.m. PST. And you can log in, get all ready, and buy it there. And that's how I got lucky getting mine. But that's the reason I really didn't get into the top five, because like it's a cool thing, but it's also like kind of punishing that it's not available, because I took it home for the holidays and played it with my brothers, who I played the original NES with when I was a kid and had a blast. And then he's like, where do I get one? And I'm like, I don't know.
Well,
dude,
you don't.
You don't. You come visit, or you somehow convince me to part with it for a couple of weeks, in which I promptly shot down and took it back with me. But because I'm a terrible person. I really enjoy my time with it, and I just wish that more people could get it, because Nintendo is sitting there slowly making these things, and people want them, and they're not coming to stores fast enough. I think each store gets like a stock of 4 or 5, which is kind of
Nintendo.
Yeah, but in terms of the gameplay, like I was playing around with it today, and like two controllers, like it labels all the games that have two players, and we were just jumping in between games. It's super snappy, very quick, and just a lot of fun to jump in between games, like spend like 5 minutes in one and spend an hour in another. Like, it's a really cool unit, and I want everybody who wants it to be able to experience it. So,
man, I'm gonna have to give it a try. Matt and I are gonna go get to see Ryan in a couple of days, so I'm gonna get my hands on it before the end of 2016.
Yeah, we will play it, and my favorite thing is that it's so cool to be able to, you know, plug an HDMI into it and not have to worry about like, oh, does my, you know, Kyle, my brother, bought a new 4K television on Boxing Day because he's crazy, and he's not afraid of people like me. Yeah, and he's like, I wonder if I could hook up my NES to it. It's like, I don't know, does it have those weird like screws that you like screw around, the weird like metal pinchers? Like, I doubt it. That's like a 30-year-old technology. But this thing solves that, the one of the biggest problem with retro gaming is that, you know, you can't hook it up to your brand new TV.
Yeah.
So NES Mini is a really cool thing. I just wish more people could play it.
Mm-hmm. Really, really quickly, we have a couple more honorable mentions before we get into our Game of the Year experiences this year. But for me, there was Planet Coaster, which is on sale right now on Steam, if you guys are interested. I think it's about $10 off, so it's closer to the $50 price point if you are buying in Canadian dollars. No idea what it is if you're buying in American, but Canadian dollars is around the $50 mark. And man, it's so much fun. It's still fun. It's another one of those Stardew Valley type experiences.
I want to try that.
Where you just kind of, yeah, you just kind of sit back and, you know, let the time melt away somehow.
I want to give that game a shot. And I honestly haven't picked up anything in the Steam sale. So maybe that'll be
it. I haven't yet either, but there was actually, I think, Battlefield 1 and Titanfall together were something like $90 for the deluxe editions as a bundle over on Origin. So normally I don't tell people to go shop on Origin, but if you don't have those two titles yet, they had some pretty good deals on those, and I think they were $30 each for the regular editions or something like that. So pretty good sales if you're interested in either one of those games. But yeah. So Planet Coaster was a really, really fun experience, especially if any of you liked Roller Coaster Tycoon back in the day or anything to do with The Sims. This is very, very similar, but there is a lot of customization I found. Like with Roller Coaster Tycoon, it was very much like you could place a whole bunch of different decorations, but in Planet Coaster, you can literally make whatever you can kind of wrap your head around. So, there's so much customization available. Planet Coaster is really, really fun and on sale right now on Steam. So I highly recommend, if you like those kind of games, to go and check it out.
Cool. Yeah.
And you have one final one before we move into our top five.
Sorry, I'll be quick. Yeah, Gears of War 4, I just couldn't have it in the top five, but it was a fantastic return to form for the series, and I felt like I was putting like a lot of sequels in there. So like a lot of like 5, 6, 7 type of entries, and Gears of War 4 does a great job of like marrying the old with the new, way better than Xbox did with Halo 4 or Halo 5 for that matter. I just think it sets up a great trilogy and addresses the original trilogy sort of like a Force Awakens, kind of like, you know, bring in the old, bring in the new. So I don't know. If you like Gears of War, Gears of War 4 was a fantastic return. And very, it's also cool. On sale. Everything's on sale.
A lot of things are on sale right now, guys. Yeah. So go and check out those Boxing Week sales. Make sure you're taking advantage if you didn't get your hands on all of the things that came out this year. I wanted to remind everybody before we get into our top five experiences of 2016 that you should go to etched.amove.tv and shirts.amove.tv to pick up swag from all your favorite A-Move shows, including The Gamers Inn, The Angry Chicken, and Into the Nexus. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sick. And I'm very, very slowly. I can feel like I'm losing my voice. So I'm going to try to get through the top five Game of the Year experiences for us this year, because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of really good games that need to be recognized. And these we're going to give you in no particular order, but we are going to start with one and probably not going to go too much of a deep dive, at least from my perspective, because I do a show about this one too. But World of Warcraft Legion is the first one that we're going to talk about as one of our favorite experiences for 2016. I was playing more of it today, and it just... Man, I mean, I have multiple characters at max level now. I am doing all kinds of content. I'm PvPing, I'm raiding, I'm playing through the story. And for me specifically, the experience of 2016 that really stands out in my head when I think of Legion is the ending of the Val'Shara storyline and the fate of Ysera. So we do actually have like a big, huge spoiler cast on Embrace the Spoilers about Val'Shara, if you guys want to, because I don't have the big Warcraft spoilers thing on top of Gamers In right now, so I don't want to say too much. But if you do not know the fate of Ysera, it is the one of the big gaming moments for me this year in 2016. But Ryan, I mean, I played all the way through Warlords of Draenor, so I feel like me saying that Warcraft is a great game is just like doesn't hold as much weight as for someone like you who kind of comes in and out. So you also put Legion on one of your top five experiences for this year. So why don't you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, I think Warcraft as a whole this year did a great job of getting me reinvigorated in the franchise. And honestly, like, Warcraft is a game, World of Warcraft in general is a game that I will always come back to. And when they announce a new expansion, it's like, of course, day one purchase, digital deluxe, give me my weird mount that oddly fits the expansion but will not work afterwards whatsoever. Like, no one rides that, like, jade turtle anymore, right? So but no, when it came to Legion, they just hit a lot of the right notes for me. Like, the story was dark but also very oddly bright when you start to play through the content, and, you know, characters are there that you really enjoy playing around, like Khadgar, a lot of fun to be around. And the app, the companion app, like, that thing is awesome and something we've asked for years and didn't feel like something they would ever give us because it took you out of the game, but honestly, it put you back in the game.
Yeah, the one thing that I did find was kind of weird is that now there's a companion app and an armory app, and they're not, like, both smooshed in together. Like, I would have rather they just came out with, like, a Warcraft app and then, yeah, everything in one place. Because right now, like, I come into issues all the time with, like, it getting, like, logging me out of one app and into another because it's like, ah, this account is already online, and I'm like, oh no.
I do feel you on that one, and it is kind of weird that they have three or four apps, but it might be just, you know, the odd, like, staggering of their app.
There's the Authenticator as well, is its own standalone app.
Yeah, it is weird. And but yeah, in terms of a companion app, the region, it's weirdly called Legion, so that is also weird. Is there going to be, like, the next expansion have its own separate app? And maybe just to keep it from being bogged down, because they'll always need an armory app, they'll always need the Authenticator, but they might not always need the Legion app, and they can retire it if they need to. So, I mean, I like the app, but also, like, the movie coming out, like, that also pushed me further into Warcraft. And I know a lot of people, you know, us as gamers, as geeks, really enjoyed the movie, and I think that's all that matters. And except for the fact if we want a sequel, I guess that's not all that matters. But I would love a sequel, by the way.
I got my copy this year for Christmas. I was really, really excited to open that. And it gave me a hero in Heroes of the Storm I didn't already have, and it gave me a hero in Hearthstone, an alternate hero portrait that I didn't already have. So overall, I think the movie was a huge success.
Yeah, no, I have my Blu-ray, and I watched it with you know, a friend of mine who is not a big Warcraft person, but still very much enjoyed it. And it's probably the best video game movie that's ever come out, and it's got a high budget, and it just pushes you further into loving Warcraft. And I think Legion did the exact same thing. It was an expansion that brought a lot of people back, and you know, in Ryan fashion, like, I played a good chunk of it when it came out, and I do plan on coming back to it probably with the next content patch.
You
when it comes
always
out.
Say that.
I will, though. I will. I honestly think this is going to be different because I just really like Legion. I've been really enjoying the story, and I want to see more of the story, and not just be grinding. Always, I don't want to always be grinding. I just want to see more of the story. Like, give me more content to play through. I don't think I've quite experienced it all, but I have hit that point where I have to, like, make some tough calls as to whether I, you know, play the new game I got for Christmas or grind through some Suramar quests. Like,
yeah,
it's a game that comes with its negativities, but honestly, it was mostly positive for my time with it, and I really enjoyed it. Very good content.
Well, before there was Warcraft, I know you guys thought there was nothing, but before there was Warcraft, there was Quantum Break, which was something that I found was a totally new experience for me. There was the really cool, like, TV episodes that were mixed into the different parts of the gameplay story with basically decisions that you made that impacted not just little story pieces, but also some gameplay mechanics later on. And Quantum Break, we actually ended up doing an entire episode just about the story of Quantum Break called Inside the Game. And I think that also helped me kind of put Quantum Break in my top five because we had that added extra experience there. But Quantum Break was just, it was so much fun. It was so much fun that after I finished my first playthrough, I went and did another playthrough on a harder difficulty level, which I never, ever, ever do. Wow. Just because I was really enjoying the gameplay of Quantum Break. And it is still probably if we were actually doing a game of the year, because I didn't see it like mentioned hardly anywhere for, you know, game of the year contention, which I think is absolutely crazy, because I thought, especially since it was like a time travel based game, it had like so few like giant continuity type errors, which is so easy to do when you're talking about time travel. But it also had so many surprises. Even though it told you some things right at the very beginning of the game, you still didn't understand exactly like what happened and how it happened as you were progressing through. So, I mean, for me, Quantum Break story-wise was probably my favorite experience this year in terms of anything that I played that was any kind of like single player story type anything. And that's including Warcraft, which was also awesome. So, yeah, Quantum Break is probably my favorite story-based game this year.
I think for me with Quantum Break, which also made my list, you're right. Like, inside the game, the beta episode we did for the sort of spin-off slash companion show that we were testing for the Gamers Inn, like, Quantum Break really just, you know, having to deep dive that game really made it, made me appreciate it more. And you're right, like, the story, the TV episodes was the different part. Like, for people who listen to the Gamers Inn a lot, they know that I always appreciate the difference in new games that come out. Like, every game that I've chosen has done something in a way that was different, even though, even if a good portion of the game is very same to previous entries or other titles like it. But Quantum Break, with those TV shows and the choices and even the combat, like, time travel was a part of the story, but it was also a part of the combat, and the mixing of it with the fact that some of your enemies could also control time. So when you stopped time or slowed time, other people would either go normal speed or would stay the speed at which they were going before. It reminded me a lot of Left 4 Dead, where the combat in, or not Left 4 Dead, why would I say Left 4 Dead? The Last of Us, where there were two types of enemies, where you had the zombies and the zombie variants, and then you had the humans and the human variants. And the difference between those two enemies was similar to in Quantum Break, where you had those different types of enemies. You had the normal enemies that you could toy with and kind of sneak around and use your powers on, similar to the zombies or the base zombies in Last of Us. And then you had the human enemies that had the time travel powers. Like, they were also fun, but also a little trickier to deal with. And the farther you got into the game, the more you mastered your powers and the more powerful you actually felt. And I don't know. And also the character actors in that game, like, just some really solid actors were in it. And, love them all. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even mention all the actors that were in it because, I mean, like we mentioned, there was the companion TV show that kind of, I think there was four episodes. Four episodes or five, I can't remember.
I think
there
were
five acts to the game, and so there would have been a TV show in between each act, so there would have been four TV show episodes. And the actors that they chose to play, there was the guy who plays Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
That guy.
There was the guy from Fringe. There was Iceman, Sean Ashmore.
We're doing a great job.
I know. I can't remember the actors' names, but what's going to be important is that everyone's going to know about the pop culture characters that I'm referencing.
Dominic Monaghan. Or no, sorry. That guy from Lost who wears the weird bandages around his fingers.
Yep. There you go.
I don't know. That's the only, that's the big, those are the big ones. And
those are the big ones.
They just, it was really acted really well. And like the TV show, if it were, if it existed on its own, like on TV, like probably would have PVR'd it. I probably would have watched it. But like, this is the thing, like doing something different in a game and sort of like surrounding it with a game makes it special. But this show on its own on TV, like, probably wouldn't have been as interesting. But the fact that they're gamifying it and throwing a game around it, I think brought it up a level. And I think that's something we touched on inside the game. But I think that, it's just, it was a really cool package. And you're right, it is. I have not seen it pop up on a lot of Game of the Year conversations. And that is kind of a bummer, because it was, I know it was an April game or a May or March.
I think it was earlier than that. I feel like it was a February or March title.
Yeah. It's a solid title, and more people should play it. And, you know, as is tradition, it's on sale everywhere. You could probably pick it up very inexpensive, and it's available on Windows and Xbox One. I haven't played it on Windows.
It came out April 5th, so you were right. I thought it was earlier than that, but it was April 5th.
It feels like it was earlier, oddly. Yeah. But yeah, odd that it's not coming up on a lot of people's lists. It was a solid game, and I kind of...
It was really a solid title, and it got anywhere from 8.5 to 9.5 from most gaming journalism outlets. So I'm surprised that it hasn't been featured for Game of the Year, but it was in our top five for both of us. So I think if you haven't tried Quantum Break yet, you should go pick it up and and give that game a shot, because it was really fun. Something else that's really fun that I'm sure everyone listening to the sound of my voice has probably tried is Overwatch. We couldn't go through a Game of the Year 2016 episode without mentioning the experience that was Overwatch. So for me, Overwatch, I was really, really excited about the release of it, because I was actually at BlizzCon when they announced their first new IP in however many years, something like 10 or 15 years. It was crazy. And so being there and having all the hype going along with Overwatch at that first announcement all the way through until the launch in spring of 2016, or I guess early summer. Mm-hmm. Is May spring or is May early summer? Anyways, that launch was super, super exciting. The experience of the game itself not only was a great on launch, but it's constantly evolving depending on feedback that comes from the community. The Overwatch team is really great with the communication. I think that they are probably right up there with Heroes of the Storm in terms of actual communication coming out of Blizzard teams right now. And all of that combined makes it one of the best experiences of 2016, as well as a whole bunch of all the different holiday stuff that they've done and all the brawls and everything else. It's just Overwatch has been a really great experience for me throughout 2016. Although I don't play it like everyone else does. I tend to play it solo. A lot of other people say never solo queue, but Overwatch for some reason is the one that I always enjoy more when I'm solo queuing.
Yeah,
I feel like the matchmaking's better. I don't know.
You've had some issues with that game and doing team matchmaking. And I've been there. I've been with you playing those games, and it's like, we're getting a lot of shit draws on this matchmaking, and it's really frustrating. I like Overwatch. It's a great game. It's one of Blizzard's best. It unfortunately didn't make my list, and I did want to talk about it, but I think Overwatch is a game that's something new from Blizzard, which is kind of unheard of. If you were thinking back a couple of years, now you're getting new experiences from Blizzard all the time. But one of the biggest things holding Overwatch back is just a lack of coherent story within the title. And
that's true.
I think like next year when we have Overwatch, the Bots Rise expansion that is like, you know, solo campaign content, like it will make my experiences of the year, because it'll be making and they've started to see that with the brawls and stuff they've been adding. And just a PSA to everybody, load up Overwatch. Go to the loot bundles. You'll get 5 loot boxes as part of the holiday giveaway thing. I haven't done it yet, so I'm also kind of trying to remind me when I go back and edit this, and I'll remember to do it. But yeah, 5 loot boxes for free. And yeah, Overwatch is a solid title. And it doesn't surprise you. I kind of figured it would make your list, so I was like, we're going to get to talk about this game. No worries.
Well, and that's how I feel about your next title here. Mm. So Ryan put Uncharted 4 on his list, and it was on my list of honorable mentions because it was a beautiful game, but I'm not as invested in the Uncharted series as I know you are, Ryan. I haven't played through the other titles. So for me, this was funny because like my first introduction to actually playing an Uncharted game, which was also the send-off to the franchise's main character up until now, Nathan Drake, was his kind of like be-all, end-all send-off title. So it was kind of a weird spot for me to jump into the series. But at the same time, it was such a fantastic experience. The storytelling was right up there with Quantum Break, I think. But again, I'm just going to let you take it over because it's on your top 5 list for experiences this year.
Well, it's interesting that you compare it to Quantum Break, because I kind of feel like it was another one of those games that would have benefited from an Inside the Game episode. Across the board this year in terms of games that we both experienced and both enjoyed in some fashion, those were the two. And Warcraft as well. Like, let's not, you know, avoid the elephant in the room.
Poo-poo Warcraft, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've done many specials on Warcraft when Legion came out. But Uncharted 4 was just one of those titles. Like, I love the Uncharted franchise. It was one of the first franchises that I got into with PlayStation as someone who is a hardcore Nintendo fan, and kind of like held on to that pretty dearly until the Xbox 360 came out, in which I was like, yeah, I should probably play some more games and not have to wait 6 months between releases. But you'll also notice NES Mini, only Nintendo experience on the list. Kind of crazy. that should be on my list, I should say. I mean, Pokemon Go is on here, but it's not even really a... Like, no mainline Nintendo titles, which is pretty crazy. But Uncharted 4 being this, okay, we'll make another one, because 3 pretty much ends it. You know, they don't, like, kill off Nathan Drake and then bring him back from the dead. Like, but it ends in a fashion that's like, yeah, you don't need to make any more. That's a complete story. But Uncharted 4 takes that and plays with it and tells a out-of-retirement story, you know, a character that doesn't really want to retire or misses the action of his adventuring years. And they do some really good stuff with that and play around with it and play around with character relationships like that. And I don't know, I really appreciate it. But also from a technical standpoint, like you said, looks amazing. Probably one of the best looking video games out there. Definitely the best looking on PS4. And I mean, I'm really looking forward to the new DLC coming out next year, which is going to be more story content. But in terms of Uncharted 4, just it's not a surprise that it's on this list and was very high up on the list. It might have even been like the top game that I played this year because I'm just such a huge fan of Uncharted. And now I'm sad. You know, I thought I was sad 6 years ago when Uncharted 3 came out and I finished it, but now I'm sad that we're not going to get to play any more Uncharted again.
Well, speaking of good-looking games, the next one on your list is the only title that gave me, like, actual visceral, I think I'm going to throw up reactions to some of the visuals in there.
Well.
Your next title on your list is something that I didn't play because every time I went over and looked at my boyfriend's screen, I was just like, oh, ew. And that is Doom.
Yeah.
So tell me about how this tops your gaming experiences of 2016, because, dude, I couldn't even pick up a controller to play this game.
So the thing about Doom is no one expected Doom to be good. No one expected Doom to be good. And then when you play it, it sort of captures the feel of Doom 1 and 2 really well, which is a game I didn't play a lot of, but I dabbled with as a kid. It was on our PC. And we, you know, oh, this is a shooter. Really cool. I think it was after Doom came out, like well after, where no one should be playing that game. but then Doom comes out and it's an arcade shooter. You're just tearing through demons. You are the Doom Slayer and just going through. It's just amazing. And it's so quick. It's so fast. You don't reload, you just shoot, you change guns. I mean, it is the action movie in video game form, and they nail it. And there's a great documentary series out there that kind of explains this way better in the course of an hour, but explains it really well about why this game is just so damn good. The music is like, to anyone who hasn't played the game, sounds like just weird death metal with like interchanging, you know, drums and guitar, but like if you play the game, it's
it just gets you going. It really like pumps you up and makes you want to just explode demon things. Yeah,
and I don't know, it's got a really great sense of humor about itself, where the other ones took themselves too seriously, and this one it's like demonic invasion in progress, you know slide left to try and stop, and he just like takes the screen and like throws it to the left, and he just keeps going with a shotgun. And there's a lot of those moments where he's like hearing people talk to him, like the AI that runs, or a robot dude, I don't know. He's like running the settlement and he's talking to him and he says something he doesn't like. So rather than just hanging up, he like punches the speaker and then, you know, it crackles out. And I don't know, there are moments like that. And there are moments where you're just running around killing things. And when you die, you don't really feel like it's your fault. You feel like, man, I just should have been moving quicker. Like you can't stand still in that game. And it punishes you if you sit there. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but honestly, another title that's on sale and well worth picking up. If you aren't squeamish, because I will agree with you, Jocelyn, it's pretty, you know, there's a lot of...
that's a good way to put it. It's very blah.
Yeah, a lot of blood, and, you know, the death animations for yourself are even pretty bad, where one in particular, the demon will, like, tear your arm off and then beat you with it. And, yeah. It's pretty gnarly.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gnarly.
that certainly is an experience. One that's in the same sort of vein of that Doom experience is Dead by Daylight, which I know we played a lot of. It's one of my favorite experiences of 2016 because I don't tend to get on board with horror games. I don't tend to replay them past my first kind of sitting. I usually do it on some sort of a dare or like a donation goal or a stream something. But Dead by Daylight, I very, very much enjoyed. It was right up there when it comes to multiplayer game experiences with Depth, which we played a lot of on stream as well. Mm-hmm. Although Depth did not come out this year. That was last year. But Dead by Daylight was so much fun, both as the like murderer killer thing, which they were, it was so tropey. It was tropey from like the settings to the actual killers to, you know, like just all the stuff in the game was so like horror tropey, which I loved because I actually love horror movies. But my problem with horror games is usually that like the experiences are made to shock you in the most like in your face way possible, which I don't tend to enjoy. I like mine to be a little bit more subtly scary and kind of like when you like sticks with you and like creeps you out later, as opposed to just like blah in your face, blah in your face, like Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
For instance. So Dead by Daylight was different because there was a level of strategy because everything in the game that was coming after you, it was an actual real person. So you still had some of those scary moments, but it was very much like orchestrated by the person who was playing against you. So it was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of different strategies, and we spent a lot of hours playing the game, mostly against friends, which is usually the experience that I enjoy. But we also went online and played against a bunch of different killers, which then puts you onto that whole other level when you're on Skype with like the four survivors and you're playing against someone you don't know as the killer. It's just like, oh my God, that whole other level of trying to survive. And yeah, so Dead by Daylight is up there on experiences for me, both from the multiplayer perspective and from a horror game perspective. I found it to be really, really fun. I haven't played the other one, the similar one. Is it Friday the 13th,
I think? Yeah, Friday the 13th. I think
which is the same idea, but it's like actually skinned as like Friday the 13th. So
yeah, and it was one of those games that was kickstarted and has been in the limelight more than now I forget, Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight.
But Dead by Daylight has come out and is actually doing quite well for itself and is getting a lot of like DLC and even getting what I would consider, like, it's not getting Freddy Krueger, but it got Mike Myers, which is kind of like, if you compare Jason to Mike Myers back in the heyday, they were kind of like the ones fighting against each other.
Yeah.
One of the three big baddies of horror film. And Dead by Daylight is a lot of fun. And someone, Hanchikumo, asked earlier, like, is there any games we're going to talk about that we streamed? And yeah, like, Dead by Daylight was a game we streamed a lot of, even during our Extra Life stream. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of fun playing it. And yeah, man, that game is really great. And you're right, because it is an AI coming after you, it's a little more predictable and a little more less serious, less like spooky, because you know someone's on the other end controlling that character, as opposed to being this menacing AI that could be taking advantage of being the computer, basically. But because it's a real person, you feel like you actually can hide because there's human error on the other end of it. Not like ones and zeros, like calculating. I think that goes a long way with that game and has to be played with friends and certainly on Skype. Like, even if all six of you or all five of you were playing on Skype and everybody's on Skype talking, that adds to the fun too.
It does. We had a lot of fun when we had all of us on Skype, just because you were trying to like coordinate and like help your teammates, but at the same time, like, the killer can literally hear everything you're saying. So it was a really fun experience. I quite enjoyed everything that we did with Dead by Daylight. Ryan, why don't you talk about the last experience of 2016 that made your top five?
Yeah, so the last one, I know earlier I'd mentioned I didn't have any Nintendo mainline games on here, but the reason I included Ratchet and Clank on my list is because it felt like a Nintendo game. It always felt like, this franchise has always felt like a Nintendo franchise to me, but done on a PlayStation console. And Ratchet and Clank is a retelling of the original game, sort of not remastered, but literally remade from the ground up. This is a remake of the original Ratchet and Clank, and it was paired with the movie. The movie didn't do so hot, so I haven't actually seen it, but Ratchet and Clank has scenes from the movie in it, but you wouldn't know it because the graphics in the game are pretty much the movie, which is also fantastic. Looks amazing. It's basically like playing a Pixar movie that was co-created with Nintendo, but it's not at all those two things. It's a completely separate company. Insomniac Games makes it, and again, you can find this game for dirt cheap now. Like, I feel like a lot of the games we're talking about were kind of underappreciated this year, and you could probably find for very inexpensive amount of money. And yeah, I just really enjoyed Ratchet and Clank, and it felt like you were a kid again, you know, playing those platformers that you used to play, and it's not a serious, like, oh, I gotta kill this dude or rip this dude apart or have a sad story about time travel. Like, no, it's just you're gonna have fun with your cartoon robot, and you're a weird furry animal, and you throw a wrench and you collect screws, and it's just a lot of fun. And it's great to put down, like, the serious video game entertainment and play something that just is pure fun. And that's why I kind of attribute it to being kind of a Nintendo experience, because that's why I love Nintendo games. They're just fun, and there's no, you know, there's no other factor there. It's just you're having a great time. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, for me, the kind of sitting back and just having a great time, to the point that I didn't even realize how much time it actually passed, and this seems like a little bit of a cop-out to put on an experiences of 2016 list, because it's the same experience that I've had with every entry into this franchise, but Civilization VI, holy hell, dude, cannot have a top five list without putting Civ 6 on it, just because, like, you start a campaign. I started a campaign at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and before I knew it, it was 8 a.m. the next day. And I just didn't even realize it, to the point that Ryan said to me, oh, you left your computer on last night, because I see you've got like 14 hours in Civ 6. I'm like, yeah, I didn't leave the computer on, dude. I played 14 hours straight at Civ 6.
Ooh. See, that's the thing. Civ 6 was one of those games that I really enjoyed, but haven't really sunk a lot of time into. It's a big game, and is spread across hours of enjoyment, and it doesn't surprise me that you dived deep into that game like right away and played, like, pulled an all-nighter, which isn't, you know, I think I'm safe in saying this, isn't a common occurrence for you, like, to pull an all-nighter. I don't think, like,
well,
like, an all-nighter.
Warcraft was the only other one really that, okay, I did. But, that I had that sort of an experience with, but even then, like, it wasn't really, like, that's more so I just stay up until like 1 or 2 and then go to sleep. But the last, like, actual, like, all-nighter outside of Extra Life experience that I had, right, was with Civilization, and this one tends to suck you in. It's like, well, okay, I'll just play like 2 more turns, or in 3 more turns I'll have this done, and then, you know, I can do this and this, and then I go to sleep, and but you never do.
I need to unlock, like, my cannons, and then I'll go to bed. Oh, wait, no.
Exactly. But then now that I have that, now I can go and kick China in the butt, and they've been jerks all game, so...
It's true.
Coming at you, China, and then you have to play for the extent of a war. You can't log out in the middle of a war. So it just snowballs. There's just more and more experiences in Civ 6 that you're just like, well, in 2 more turns I can X, and before you know it is 8 a.m. So I feel like that just had to make it onto my top 5 gaming experiences. Mm-hmm. But because it is the same experience as previous entries in the franchise, I feel like maybe it shouldn't have made the top 5, just because, like, it is the same experience. But Civ 6 did a lot of really cool things with neighborhoods and kind of placements and building your cities and stuff that didn't have in previous iterations. So I feel like it was still a unique enough experience, but yeah, it was my all-nighter experience for 2016. So if you guys haven't tried it yet, I believe the Civilization franchise is somewhere between 25 and 75% off over on Steam during the winter sale. So make sure you guys go and check it out. That's it.
That is our
top 5 experiences of 2016 for both Ryan and I. I hope you guys enjoyed our little recap. I am definitely losing my voice, so I can't keep this going too much longer. So I wanted to remind you guys that, I wanted to thank our patrons first and foremost over at patreon.com/thegamersin. Wanted to remind all of you that we are going to be making changes to our Patreon in the new year, and we are going to make each and every level a little bit more rewarding to you guys, and we're going to move some things around so that we get some game night content back for you on Thursday nights. So make sure that you check out patreon.com/thegamersin if you are a current patron, or if you are a previous patron or new patron, perhaps. We're going to have some really cool stuff on there for you guys in the next couple of weeks, so make sure you check it out. Again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin, and we thank everyone for supporting us over there. That's going to do it for us tonight, for us this year, actually, yeah. If we want to get all super technical about it. you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, The Angry Chicken, and For Azeroth. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays, Ryan is at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AmoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email us and let us know what your favorite gaming experience of 2016 was, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, guys. Happy New Year.
See you in 2017.